This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Monday, the 2nd of July. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Dean Arcuri. Tonight on the show, in an exclusive interview, I'll be speaking to the Melbourne man who, last year, contracted HIV while on the HIV prevention drug, pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP. He had his voice and his story taken away from him when the news broke in the media that he had contracted HIV. And 1 year on, we sit down and discuss what that was like here on The Informer on Joy 94.9. On the 22nd of May in 2017, Fairfax Media broke the news that a Melbourne man had tested positive for HIV while on the PrEPX trial, stating that the news had sparked fears in the gay community about possible resistance to the medication, citing fears about a non-resistant strain of HIV that could affect use of the HIV prevention drug around the nation. Here's how Shannon Power and Dean Beck reported the story here on The Informer.
It's Monday the 22nd of May. We have a couple of huge breaking news stories here in Melbourne, and what a way to bring back The Informer. I'm joined by Dean Beck in the studio about some interesting, I guess, developments in the HIV sector. What can you tell us, Dean?
Very concerning developments, actually. Melbourne will go down in HIV history books as the fourth ever case of PrEP failure. We know that in the previous failures of PrEP, two of those cases resulted in drug-resistant strains.
Sure.
And one of them was a non-drug-resistant strain. We're not quite sure why, but we think that was due to the number of sexual encounters that were engaged in. In this case, we're not sure exactly what has happened.
But what could some of the reasons be other than, a drug-resistant strain that could have caused this to happen?
Well, to date, the only other real explanation is non-adherence.
Mm-hmm. So not taking your PrEP every day.
Correct, yes.
With the PrEP failure, I guess it's really important to know what caused it before we can ring the alarm bells. But should we be worried at all?
Well, we do know that hundreds of thousands of sexual encounters have been taking place.
Sure.
Whilst taking the combination of drugs that is PrEP. And to date, this seems like the fourth case of it not working for somebody. So it's pretty rare that it would fail. Never has anyone said it's 100% protective. I know that the HIV sector has been working feverishly to do damage control prior to this announcement here on Joy on The Informer.
But I think the important message to get out there is that, yes, this news sort of broke on social media. We've had it confirmed. There's no need for panic. There's no need to get alarmed until we know exactly what's going on.
The minute that news hit the headlines, a member of our community had their voice taken away from them. With assumptions being drawn in the media and on social media about their sexual practices and character and what this meant for PrEP users around the country. At the time, he was the fourth man worldwide to have contracted HIV while on PrEP, and in the lead-up to 1 year since the news broke, he approached us here on Joy wanting to share his story and to talk about what it was like for him. Tonight he talks about what it was like being the subject of a conversation, but not able to tell his side of the story, as he saw assumptions and misinformation spread about his PrEP use, his character, and his lived experience. Now, here on The Informer, he shares his experience with me.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Let's talk about a year ago. Let's talk about what it was like when you found out you were diagnosed as HIV positive.
I was weirdly okay with it, or as okay as someone could be. I've done the research, or I did the research. I understood that, you know, HIV is not a death sentence, especially with PrEP around. Stigma with HIV has decreased dramatically, even over the last couple of years. I did have some moments of breaking down, but I think that's perfectly normal. It's not something that I was expecting by any means. And I think that was the hardest part, because before I started PrEP, I knew that there was always a tiny possibility that I, you know, when I got tested, that it could come back positive.
So you found out you were HIV positive as part of your regular testing
for PrEP.
From taking PrEP.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. So I think once I started taking PrEP, I knew that there was a tiny possibility of a chance that I could still become HIV positive, but the likelihood of that is, it's more likely that I'm going to be in a plane accident.
Well, the reality is that from that kind of analogy, you were the person who was in a plane accident.
Yeah, well, I would much prefer to be HIV positive than in a plane accident, that's for sure. So, you know, what I've said to my parents is, out of the one in a million things that could happen to me, this is probably the best one. You know, HIV is not a big thing. It's, you know, something that you live with, and, you know, as long as you adhere to your medication and stay on top of your health, it's the same but different.
That's a really good attitude to have 1 year on. Being diagnosed as HIV positive is one thing, but you were a person who was on PrEP, who discovered while taking PrEP that they were HIV positive. How long had you been on PrEP before you...
I was actually importing it before the study, so roughly about 2 years.
So you hadn't been on it for like a week or two. You'd been on it for years.
Yes, that's correct.
And then discovered through regular testing, which is a part of what you do when you take PrEP, that you were HIV positive.
Yes. As I said, it was definitely a big shock.
You also had your voice taken away from you because the media got a hold of the fact that, this station included, got a hold of the fact that there was a person who had become HIV positive who had been taking PrEP, and then took your story away from you. When did you find out that that was happening?
So the timing couldn't have been any worse. At the time, I was booked in to go and get my first lot of medication from my doctor. And in my head, I had, I guess, convinced myself that everything is the same but different. I'm going from a blue pill to a pink pill. So when I went to the doctor, he laid out the chart and said, actually, you need to take two pills, not one. And I remember that was the point where I just broke down and was begging him to let me go on one pill, because by having two pills, it, somehow in my head, it wasn't the same. It was different, and it wasn't what I was expecting.
So what was the reason for you having to go on two pills?
Because there was some resistance, which, you know, having drug-resistant strains of HIV is something that's quite common, and usually what they do is they find medication that, I guess, works around that. And it just so happened that, yeah, I had to go on to two pills. So he wrote me the script, and then he goes, actually, there's something else I need to talk to you about. A newspaper has gotten hold of it, the story, and that they will be writing an article about it. They did call us, and they're trying to find out, you know, who this person is. So I highly recommend that you don't tell any of your friends about this. You don't tell anyone, because there's a good possibility that it will get leaked out into the media. At that point in time, I had completely freaked out, and I ended up going back to my friend's house, telling him about everything that had happened, and I was so distraught. I think that was the lowest point that I got to. And then as I was telling him these, I got a notification on my Facebook that something was posted on, I can't remember, it was one of the Facebook groups that I was a part of, and it was VAC making a media release. And in that, the way that it was worded was that there was two scenarios. One was, it's the very unlikely possibility of a drug-resistant strains, so resistant to both medications in PrEP, or the more likely scenario, they didn't use the words more likely, but they might as well have, that this person wasn't adhering to their medication. At this point in time, they didn't know who I was, they didn't know any facts, and actually both of those were incorrect. And the reality is, to this day, I don't know what happened. And I think they're still trying to investigate. I know that I was definitely adhering to my medication and I was very OCD about it. As for the drug-resistant strain, I was resistant to one of the two medications in Truvada, but the one that was there that I wasn't resistant to should have been enough to, like, carry me over the line and, you know, protect me.
I can only imagine what it would have been like experiencing that, seeing the press releases, seeing the information in the news and the comments that people were suddenly making based on what information they assumed was correct, and having to experience all of that. And did you talk to people about the fact that this was you, or did you have a support network? Because I understand what your doctor's saying when it's saying don't tell your friends, be cautious.
Yeah, I ended up, before my doctor said do not tell anyone, I ended up reaching out to a lovely gentleman that I just so happened to meet the week before, who, you know, was HIV positive and had been living with HIV for quite some time. So at that point in time, I didn't know anyone else that was HIV positive that I felt that I could reach out to.
How long had you been diagnosed?
When I reached out to him?
Well, when you found, when the news was breaking.
So I found out I think it was about 3 weeks before.
Okay.
It was almost like as I was getting over everything and starting to, you know, be able to put a positive spin on everything, and everything's going to be fine and everything's going to be great and everything's going to be amazing, I got knocked down again. And I think the hardest part was reading the uninformed, hateful comments that followed the news article. And I was reading every single one. There were some really amazing and really supportive ones, but especially the first 24 hours, a lot of people were in shock, especially with the newspaper link. I found that, you know, there were a lot of comments saying, you know, I deserved it, or, you know, I got what was coming to me, or I should have been using condoms and it's, you know, my fault. Or there was the other side where, from the PrEP community being quite fearful for their own sake, I think it was easier for them to, I guess, convince themselves that I wasn't adhering to my medication. So therefore, in their head, there was nothing wrong with PrEP. It was all me and my fault. And by putting the blame on somebody as opposed to, you know, the, you know, medication, especially when there was nothing known at that point in time, that was kind of the easiest way, I think. But then it started to make me doubt myself, whether I did something wrong.
The reality is you're not anonymous within these spaces either. So it must have been odd seeing people that you know and communicate with suddenly talking about this, communicating about it, talking about the hypothetical nature and their assumptions of it all, and it being a very real thing for you.
Yeah. Having friends post some quite, you know, negative comments towards this person, and obviously not knowing that it's me, these people have pieced the two together and apologized to me since then. But it's, you know, really hurtful. Even though I knew that they didn't know who I was, seeing these comments, I still found it a personal attack, even though they weren't directed at me as such, instead at a hypothetical person.
But you are the hypothetical person. I mean, as much as you say is that they're not directed at you, they are directed at you, and it does speak to something greater in regard to people thinking about when they comment online.
It's really easy to, you know, say something nasty or hateful on the other side of a keyboard when you don't know the other person or you don't know who they are. I think once you start putting a face and a backstory to that person, that's when it becomes real. I, you know, would be very surprised if someone came up to me, you know, face to face and told me I deserve what I got.
You're listening to The Informer, and we're talking to the Melbourne man who, last year, contracted HIV while on PrEP.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
2 days after it was reported that a Melbourne man had contracted HIV while on the PrEP-X study, Chris Williams wrote the following in an article on m8.com.au titled Facing Our Fears, What Does News of a Possible PrEP Failure Mean? Remember that somewhere in Victoria, one person is the subject of our social commentary. If you feel compelled to join in, consider your words with compassion. In a media release from the Victorian AIDS Council, two possible causes for the Victorian case were mentioned. One was if a person is not adhering to their PrEP regimen. The other was if a person comes into sexual contact with a person living with HIV who has a detectable viral load together with a strain of the virus that's resistant to PrEP medication. At the time, no one knew why this had occurred, just that it had been reported that it had. It was the facts that we had at the time, and with these facts, people speculated online and in the media, which led to gossip and rumours and fuelled greater stigma for this individual and all people living with HIV. Now on The Informer, the Melbourne man who contracted HIV while on the antiretroviral medication is sharing his experience of what it was like having his voice taken away from him and what that meant for his journey.
There was a bit of a media witch hunt that occurred in regard to trying to find you and trying to figure out who you were, because the information was released. The fact that this had occurred, that a member of our community was HIV positive, and that information went national, it went worldwide. And while a name wasn't mentioned, it was talking about you.
The fact that I had a friend from America message me a couple of days after saying, oh, this guy in Melbourne seroconverted, do you know him? And I was like, actually, it's me. That was mind-blowing for him. He never thought this would happen to, you know, someone that he knows. And I guess we all thought that this wouldn't happen to someone that we know, because, you know, it's never happened in Australia before. Because it was released in the media, I felt obliged to tell my parents.
Even though your name wasn't attached to it?
Even though it wasn't attached to it. I got warned that my name might be released, and I wanted them to hear it from me, not from a newspaper.
But where would your name have been released from?
You know, having the doctor say to me, don't tell anyone because the newspaper was trying to find out who you were, that to me says, be very careful. But, you know, my dad was very supportive, and, you know, it's typical of me to, like, I contracted HIV and I made world news. Like, you know, I'm that kind of person that, you know, only this happens to me.
You do seem really positive about being positive now, 1 year on.
Pardon the pun?
Pardon? Well, I'm not pardoning the pun. It's a very intentional pun. Yeah.
It's something that I've embraced and I'm not ashamed of. To some degree, I feel like I'm happier. It's made me a better person. You know, I've wanted to do more for other people. And also, I've started to appreciate the little things in life, like I have a beautiful partner. I have a roof over my head. I have enough money to live and do whatever I want. I'm in a really fortunate position. I'm, you know, being a white gay male living in Australia with HIV, things could be a lot worse and could be a lot harder. So I think this has taught me to appreciate what I've got.
Also, 1 year on now, you are kind of stepping into the spotlight and saying, this is me, this was me who you were talking about. And you're doing that in a much more public way. Is that a little terrifying?
Yes and no. It is something that I wanted to do from the very start. It was so hard to sit there and not defend myself and not stand up for myself. I am a very, you know, opinionated person. If you come for me, I will bite back. So to sit there on the other side of the screen and have to stay silent ate me up inside so much. And I think now it's a relief to be able to tell my side of the story and say, you know, this is me. This is what happened. I was adhering to my medication, so...
When you were seeing those news reports and those press releases that were all saying, these are the two possible scenarios. Either we have a drug-resistant strain of HIV that PrEP can't fight, or this person wasn't doing what they were doing properly. How did that make you feel?
Angry. I knew that both of them were incorrect. We did the testing that proved that I was adhering to my medications, or I had, like, sufficient levels of PrEP in my system, but also we did a drug-resistant strain test. I was a little bit confused as to why they were giving these two scenarios and also, I guess, angry that they were not giving the correct facts.
This must have come as a really great shock and obviously changed parts of how you approached your sex life for a period of time. Did it?
Yeah, it absolutely did. Especially the first couple months, even though I started my medication and got to undetectable, or I had an undetectable viral load, which meant I obviously can't transmit HIV to another person, I still, you know, felt the need to disclose to everyone that I had sex with. I do remember there was actually one guy, I don't think I'll ever forget him. It was actually in a back room. I told him that I was HIV positive. He kind of like pulled back, stood me up, turned me around. I was like, oh, what's going to happen now? And he gave me the biggest hug. And he's like, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm on PrEP. I know that I've had sex with heaps of guys that are HIV positive, or more than likely had sex with guys that are HIV positive, and I don't care. But the fact that you shared that with me, he said, you know, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that with me.
It does speak to the fact that when it comes to disclosure, it could still be something that people find really hard, being on PrEP. Like, they do just go, I'm on PrEP, so everything's okay, and rush through it all instead of just going, it's okay at whatever point you are, whether your pants are down or you're just making out or you're just having a conversation, to be able to talk about these things and to be able to do them at whatever part of your sexual scenario.
You know, coming back to that date a year later, I know that I'm a better person. I have my head more screwed on. You know, I'm so happy with where I am. But I think this, speaking on radio or, you know, telling my story is me being able to close that chapter of my life and, yeah, come back to that date and say, cool, it's a year on. This is where I am. I'm actually happier now than what I was, you know, a year ago. And it's time for me to, you know, completely let go and, you know, embrace it and just celebrate me for me.
It's still going to be a little bit terrifying because you get to do that, but there is this media public sphere-ness that gets entered into it. Is it terrifying?
No. Yes. Yes. Yes, it is, because I think I put so much pressure on to this one moment and being able to tell my story. And I can say that I've thought more about this point in time than actually living with HIV, you know, being able to tell my side of the story and be able to like fight back and, you know,
it must have been
make
really,
things right.
It must have been really awful. Well, make things right. That's an interesting phrase that you choose to put in regard to it, because the fact is that things were wrong with the way they were reported, weren't they?
Absolutely. Well, for one, it shouldn't have been released to the media. I feel like if there is a right protocol to take if something like this happens, everything they should have done, they did the complete opposite. And that went from...
Do you mean from a media perspective or a medical?
Across the board.
Everything
so,
across the board.
The organizations, my doctor, right across the board. I think everyone was so in shock that it happened and no one was expecting it to ever happen. So there wasn't a procedure in place at that point in time. And the organizations have actually come forward to me and, you know, said, we are sorry that we dropped the ball. I actually, and this is going off topic a little bit, but I remember disclosing to someone that runs a online support Facebook group. And I started to, you know, talk to them and say, you know, the person that contracted HIV whilst on PrEP. And they're like, yeah, such and such. I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, this person, you know, we were at wherever we were and this person sat me down and explained to me that they were the person that, you know, contracted HIV.
Someone was saying that they were you.
Yeah. Which, you know what, if that's what they need to, you know, help them get through. And I understand it might make someone feel, you know, better about contracting HIV at fault of not their own, I guess, convincing themselves this is what happened to them and it's not their fault.
It's not a particularly healthy way to approach that, though. It's not an okay story. It's not an easy story. You haven't had an easy time of dealing with it. So why would you want to take on more?
You know what? It's, you know, it's their own and if it makes, as I said, if it makes them feel better. It really comes down to internalized stigma, really, and being able to process that. And obviously this is that person's way of processing it. Obviously not a healthy way, but who am I to tell them what to do or what not to do? So I think as HIV positive people, we, and I say the word we because me as well, have moments of feeling as if it's well, it's quite scary disclosing to someone else. Are they going to reject me? How are they going to react? I really like this person. Are they going to tell other people? There's all these things. But I'm in a really unique situation where I had that mentality. But then I, you know, remind myself that as a PrEP user in the past, this is how I perceived HIV positive people. And the two don't actually link. The, I'm going to say most people on PrEP, or at least me, someone's status was not important to me. I knew that I was protected and I was doing everything in my power to protect myself. And obviously undetectable means untransmittable. And I think the combination of the two in my head completely took that fear out of my head. But still, I think a lot of people don't see it that way or still have that fear. So I guess I'm kind of lucky in the sense that I can see both sides of the story as a PrEP user and as someone living with HIV.
You're listening to The Informer, and we've been talking to the Melbourne man who, last year, contracted HIV while on PrEP.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Tonight on The Informer, you've been hearing excerpts of an exclusive interview I had with the Melbourne man who contracted HIV while on the antiretroviral medication PrEP last year. I want to thank him for approaching us to share his story. A full podcast of our interview will be available to download tomorrow morning via joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform. That's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform. Don't forget to follow us on social media, at The Informer on Joy94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you'd like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Dina Curie.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.